but the growing length of bark held. Rincewind began to congratulate himself until, looking up, he saw what he had hitherto not noticed. There was the largest hornet's nest he had ever seen, hanging right in his path. His eyes shut tightly. "Why the troll?" he asked himself. "Everything else is just my usual luck. But why the troll? What the hell is going on?" Click. It may have been a twig snapping, except that the sound appeared to be inside Rincewind's head. Click, click, and a breeze that failed to set a single leaf a-tremble. The hornet's nest was ripped from the branch as the strip passed by. It shot past the wizard's head, and he watched it grow smaller as it plummeted towards the circle of upturned muzzles. The circle suddenly closed. The circle suddenly expanded. The concerted yelp of pain as the pack fought to escape the furious cloud echoed among the trees. Rincewind grinned inanely. Rincewind's elbow nudged something. It was the tree trunk. The strip had carried him right to the end of the branch. But there were no other branches. The smooth bark beside him offered no handholds. It offered hands, though. Two were even now thrusting through the mossy bark beside him. Slim hands, green as young leaves. Then a shapely arm followed. And then the hammer dryad leaned right out and grasped the astonished wizard firmly, and with that vegetable strength that can send roots questing into rock, drew him into the tree. The solid bark parted like a mist, closed like a clam. Death watched impassively. He glanced at the cloud of mayflies that were dancing their joyful zigzags near his skull. He snapped his fingers. The insects fell out of the air. But somehow it wasn't quite the same. Blind Eeyore pushed his stack of chips across the table, glowered through such of his eyes that were currently in the room, and strode out. A few demigods tittered. At least Offler had taken the loss of a perfectly good troll with precise, if somewhat reptilian, grace. The lady's last opponent shifted his seat until he faced her across the board. "Lord," she said politely.
"Lady," he acknowledged.
Their eyes met. He was a taciturn god. It was said that he had arrived in the Discworld after some terrible and mysterious incident in another eventuality. It is, of course, the privilege of gods to control their apparent outward form, even to other gods. The fate of the Discworld was currently a kindly man in late middle age, greying hair brushed neatly around the features that a maiden would confidently proffer a glass of small beer to, should they appear at her back door. It was a face a kindly youth would gladly help over a stile. Except for his eyes, of course. No deity can disguise the manner and nature of his eyes. The nature of the two eyes of the fate of the Discworld was this, that while at a mere glance they were simply dark, a closer look would reveal, too late, that they were but holes, opening onto a blackness so remote, so deep, that the watcher would feel himself inexorably drawn into the twin pools of infinite night and their terrible, wheeling stars. The lady coughed politely and laid 21 white chips on the table. Then from her robe she took another chip, silvery and translucent and twice the size of the others. The soul of a true hero always finds a better rate of exchange and is valued highly by the gods. Fate raised an eyebrow.
"And no cheating, lady," he said.
"But who could cheat fate?" she asked.
He shrugged.
"No one, yet everyone tries."
"And yet again, I believe I felt you giving me a little assistance against the others?"
"But of course, so that the end game could be the sweeter, lady. And now?"
He reached into his gaming box and brought forth a piece, setting it down on the board with a satisfied air. The watching deities gave a collective sigh. Even the lady was momentarily taken aback. It was certainly ugly. The carving was uncertain, as if the craftsman's hands were shaking in horror of the thing taking shape under his reluctant fingers. It seemed to be all suckers and tentacles. And mandibles, the lady observed. And one great eye.
"I thought such as he died out at the beginning of time," she said.
"Mayhap our necrotic friend was loath even to go near this one," laughed Fate.
He was enjoying himself.
"It should never have been spawned."
"Nevertheless," said Fate gnomically.
He scooped the dice into their unusual box and then glanced.